Amen. I want to welcome one of our ministers here in the church, Minister Julius, to come and bring us the word of the Lord. Please, can you give him a warm welcome as he comes to share the word of the Lord? Amen. We want you to know that we love you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Do you have any people in the house today? Praise the Lord. I need to be sure that I'm going to preach to people, not chairs. I love Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Pastor, thank you very much for the opportunity to come and share the gospel. This is a message that was supposed to be delivered the last Sunday, and I assured the pastor that it is ready. But things do happen, don't they? I'm a husband to that beautiful lady over there, and she wants to do a special song before I start. So, Charity. Come on, you gotta encourage her now.
Come on. Come on. Yes.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If you're from Kentucky, please don't leave. Some people remember Kentucky. This is a special and a surprise. And I thank God for he's my personal Savior this morning. I love him. And as we were praying, I just feel like there are so many of us who are still chained with the Satan, and then we don't know where to go, but this is just an encouragement if you are one of them, and then all of us, and it's just an encouragement. So,
unloosen the chains that bind many to evil. Unloosen the chains that bind many to
Satan.
Okay. Unloosen the chains that bind many to evil. Set them free, Lord. Set them free. Set them free, Lord. Set them free, Master. Set them free. And let them see your light. Let them know you. And let them come to you. Set them free, oh, set them free. Set them free.
The captives
free from the bondage of sin. Let them know that Jesus came to give them freedom. That's why he died for me, to set them free. Set them free,
Lord.
Set them free. Set them free, Lord. Set them free, Master. Set them free. And let them see your light. Let them know you. And let them come to you. Set them free, oh, set them free. Set them free. Set them free, Lord. Set them free, Master. Set them free. And let them see your light. Let them know you. And let them come to you. Set them free. Set them free. The CD will be available after this. This morning when I was trying to go through the notes for my sermon, God gave me a different script, Pastor. And before I go there, the worship was just astounding this morning. I know I missed last Sunday, So I missed whatever happened here, and it's just awesome. You know, I was just telling God, I don't want to miss another Sunday, because every Sunday you come, there is something new, there is something better. We are going from different levels, and honestly, I'm very, very grateful to God for the servants that He has brought to this church. They are people that other churches would be jealous of, and I really thank God for Israel, George, and the rest of the worship team. This is just awesome, and I bless God for you. Back to the script. God gave me a different script, Pastor. Okay. And it surprised me, because for those of you who know me, I'm a Barnabas. I love encouraging people. I love lifting people's spirits up. I love telling people, you cannot stop here. You need to move on. I love telling people that this is not your destiny. You got to reach for your destiny. But today, God gave me a different script. And so walk with me and encourage me as we go through this new script. Today I was learning about something that was completely new, and it changed my thinking. And when I was coming to church, I still have, you know, when you've exposed yourself to something that is so complicated over and over again, you start having that distant headache. And as I came this morning, I had that distant headache, and I was wondering now, what is this? Because of what God was exposing me to. But the message that I want to deliver to you today is very simple. It's something that you've gone through, gone over and over again. And the purpose, the message, the reason why God gave me this message is to remind the church. To remind the church. But that is not the title of my message. Hell is real. You don't want to go there. Hell is real. You don't want to go there. Geophysical studies have revealed that the earth has several distinct layers. For those of you who remember your geography, different layers. The earth is not just what we see. It's not just the earth that we see on top. And according to the National Academy of Sciences and the other leading geophysics scientists, including one that I was studying this morning called Don Anderson, in his work, Theory of the Earth, he asserts, number one, that the outermost layer of the earth is the crust. That's where we are on. That's the crust. This comprises the continents and ocean basins. And the crust has a thickness, or variable thickness. In some areas, it's thicker than the other. In some areas, it's higher, and that kind of a thing. Don't worry about that. I'm just trying to lay the land. Secondly, the next layer is called the mantle, which is about 1,800 miles or 2,900 kilometers thick, and is separated into the upper and lower mantle. This is where most of the internal heat of the earth is located. Geophysical scientists, now listen to this, geophysical scientists that have studied the volcano inform us that the mantle under the earth is so hot that the rocks are in molten or liquid state called the magma. We all know about the magma because we've studied geography and the volcano, and that's why some of you are in the jobs that you are in today. During the eruption of a volcano, the lava that flows out of the crater gives us the evidence that there is a lake of fire. Did you know that? The lava that flows out gives you evidence that there is a lake of fire. And this writer, this scientist says that evidence, the lake of fire in hell, is under the earth. And finally, the last layer is the core, which is separated into the liquid outer core and the solid inner core, which is the hottest part of the earth. Lorraine, are we together? Thank you. In an article appearing in the well-respected Finland newspaper, now work with me here. Work with me here. I need your attention. For you to be able to understand where I'm going, you need to be present with me right now, okay? In an article appearing in the well-respected Finland newspaper, now this is not original information. This is information that I cut and pasted in my notes this morning. So don't congratulate me and say you're a wonderful researcher. No, I just cut and pasted. Dr. Azakov, remember him because you may want to go and do a bit of Google. Azakov is A-Z-Z-A-Kov, C-O-V-E. He doesn't have a second name. But he said, as a communist, I don't believe in heaven or the Bible, but as a scientist, I now believe in hell. See, what had happened is that some years ago, I believe it must have been 1992, Dr. Azakov and others were digging to the core of the earth somewhere in Siberia, or what is known as Russia. And as they drilled, the drill reached a certain level, and it couldn't go beyond that particular level. Something started happening to their drill. It wasn't functioning correctly. It wasn't functioning right. And to avoid the equipment, for those of you who are familiar with drilling, even drilling boreholes, they are very expensive equipment. And so they decide to pull up the equipment so they can be able to see what is going on. And they realized that the equipment was very hot. So they decided to, they wondered, you know, what is, what, you know, the equipment wasn't broken at all. And they were wondering, what is going on? So the one of them, Dr. Azarkov, decided, let's put a microphone down there so that you can be able to hear the rhythm of the earth. Has it changed? You know, the earth has a rhythm. I don't know about that. So they put the microphone down to the level where the drill couldn't go beyond. And he says, needless to say, we were shocked to make such a discovery. But we know what we saw and we know what we had. And we are absolutely convinced that we drilled through the gates of hell. This is what they had. Lorraine? Okay, we don't go beyond there. Hell is real. I don't want to go there. Hell is real. I don't want to go there. Unfortunately, people, that recording that you just heard this morning was a hoax. It was a hoax. The audio recording of the screams was actually taken from the 1972 horror movie film of Baron Blood. But it doesn't change the reality. Hell is real. But why don't you want to go to hell, people? Because hell is hot. Hell is hot. If you remember from the time that you were a child, if there is anything you are stopped from touching, it's fire. Because it will burn you. It will burn you. It will destroy you. It will consume you. In Texas, some weeks ago, we were suffering from forest fires, you know, gone wild, uncontrollable flames that could not be contained by any amount of liquid, burning and consuming. Hell is hot. That is nothing compared to what hell is. Now, according to the National Academy of Sciences, they say that at the mantle, the temperature right there is exceeds 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So that means that if you are to just drop yourself there, you probably won't be visible by the time you are lifted out. 2,000 degrees. For those of you who had had an opportunity to visit Lake Bogoria in Kenya, you will know that that's where the hot springs are. And when I went there many, many years ago, the host who was actually taking me around, I saw bones of, or not really carcasses, they're literally bones of small wild animals. And I was asking them, why are these bones all over? And he said, these are the wild animals come thirsty for water, but they fall into the hot streams. In the crust of the earth, they fall and they just become stew. Fall becomes stew. And imagine, hell is hotter than that. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, if we could open our Bibles, it says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, ye who are cast into the internal fire prepared for the devil and his angel. Hell is an everlasting fire. Hell is not a fire like the ones we've experienced here in Texas that burns and goes off. It's everlasting. It burns and burns and burns. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 40 to 42, let's get that and read it. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom, and all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 to 50, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was filled, they drew up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good into the vessel, but the bad they cast it away. So shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and serve the wicked from among the righteous, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and the gnashing of teeth, the fire that shall never be quenched. Mark also chapter 9, verse 43 to 48. And finally, Revelation 20, 13 and 15 describes also the lake of fire. Hell is hot, beloved. It is a place you don't want to go. According to a publication by the National Academy of Sciences, in an article, The Frontiers of Science, large amounts of iron later becomes the core of the earth would be contained in the planetesimals. When the accretion of the earth is almost completed, the accretional heat flux rapidly decreases, and a hot proto-ash or ocean would be formed as a result of the condensation of water vapor in the hot proto-atmosphere, bringing the temperatures of the mantle hotter and hotter and hotter. The first reason why I don't want to go to hell, it's hot. It's hot. The second reason I don't want to go to hell is that hell is a place of ongoing torment. It's not a torment that is temporary. It is not a torment that is for a time. It is ongoing torment. Let's open our Bibles in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 24. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. One was poor, one was rich. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs, verse 21, which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores, that is Lazarus. Verse 22, and it came to pass, then the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Quick story here. 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And 24, and he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, and thou are tormented. It's a place of an ongoing torment. Why, beloved, would you want to sacrifice your life today that determines your destiny? Why would you want to compromise your life today for a life of torment, everlasting torment? Not just a flame that is hot, but everlasting torment. In one version, Luke 16, Revelation 14, 11 says, and the smoke of their torment ascended forever and ever, and they had no rest day and night. Pause for a moment and think of a time, whether it was a time that you are old or maybe at the time that you are young, and maybe you landed in the hands of somebody who literally tormented you. Maybe a bully who just frustrated you over and over again. And you asked yourself, when is this going to end? But here is a torment that is going on day and night. And there is no rest. There is no rest. Hell is a place of ongoing torment. The second reason why I don't want to go to hell. Beloved, if you're a child of God, right now you'll be asking yourself, or going through your heart and in your mind and asking yourself, is there any reason, is there anything in my heart that would make me go to hell? And you'll be reconciling with yourself right now and saying, I don't want to go to hell. The third reason why I don't want to go to hell. Hell is a place reserved for the devil and his angels. Revelation chapter 12, 7 to 9. After Lucifer and his wicked angels lost the war, there was no place for them in heaven anymore, and they were cast to the earth. Let's read Revelation 12, 7 to 9. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Okay, I'll read that correctly. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought against fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Lucifer fell from heaven and was brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the earth, according to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 15. The Lord Jesus Christ said that the hell is a place with everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. When hell was created, was formed, God did not have you in mind. God did not have you and me in mind. God did not have you in mind. He did not define hell as our destiny, as our destination. No. It is for the devil and his angels. But how is it possible that you and I can purchase a ticket to hell? How is it possible that you and I can purchase a ticket to hell by living in sin? By living in sin. That is a perfect ticket. It guarantees you a front seat at the club, right there at the very front in hell. Children of God, at this time you want to go through your mind and ask yourself, what is it in my life? What is it in my life that has reserved me a front seat in hell? I want to give it up. I want to give it up because I don't want to go to hell. Remember in the Bible, one time Jesus is talking to his disciples and he tells them that, you know, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, burn it. You'd rather go to heaven without your right hand. Is it your eye that is causing you to sin? Pluck it out. You'd rather go to heaven with one eye than to go to hell with both eyes. The things that are making you sin, they're the things that you need to denounce. You need to get them out of your way. Hebrews 12:1, somewhere around there says, seeing then that you're surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin and weight that so easily besets us. Every sin and weight that guarantees us a front seat in heaven. Every sin and weight that guarantees us a destiny in hell. Let's cast it aside, that we may fight, that we may run this race that Christ Jesus has given us with patience, with diligence, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. The problem we are having today is in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Please walk with me. If you get it, just read it for me. Isaiah 5, 13, 14. Therefore, my people go into exile because they lack knowledge. We know that verse very well. The dignitaries are starving and the masses are parched with thirst. Therefore, Sheol enlarges its throat. Look at that. And opens wide its enormous jaws. And down go Zion's dignitaries, her masses, her crowds, and those who carouse in her. Oh my goodness. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity for lack of knowledge. Different version. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude are parched with thirst. Therefore, Sheol hath enlarged its desire and opened its mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp. And he that rejoiceth among them descend into it. It, Sheol, hell. The Hebrew word Sheol is hell. The pit is a hole on the earth. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, Numbers 16, 30 to 34. Hell is described as a bottomless pit in which the wicked descend. From these biblical references, we also know that hell is a real place, whether under the earth, over the earth, wherever it may be, it is there. It is real. If God, beloved, if God did not protect or cover or spare his angels when they sinned, you didn't hear what I said. If God did not spare the angels when they sinned, suppose for a moment, is he going to spare you when you sin? Will you be spared when you sin? When is the right moment for us to reconcile ourselves back to God? This is about you as an individual. Not about you as a mother, not about you as a father, not about you as a pastor or whoever you say that you are, but as an individual, this is about you. Because the Bible says in Matthew 24 that one will be taken, one will be left. Two will be found working together, one is taken, one is left. Who are you? The taken, the left? It's only you who knows yourself. It's only you. We can come here and dance and do everything that we want to do and shout and cry and pray in tongues and chase demons. But only you know your destiny. And children of God, I'm asking today, who are you? Are you going to be the one taken? Are you going to be the one left? Hell is real, and I don't want to go there. It's not my destiny. Imagine that you have lived a godly life. Passively, you have lived a life pursuing after God. Along the way, you lose your track. So you started pretending. Let's talk. You started pretending. I've read a lot of articles that attack the Christian church. The people attack and they say that one of the reasons I don't want to go to church is because Christians are hypocrites. They are pretenders. We meet them in wherever they meet. And that's why I don't want to go to church, because I'm not a pretender. I'd rather go to hell knowing that I'm not a pretender. And I ask myself this question. For every trail of smoke, there is a source. Maybe somebody went there. And we justified, no, there's nothing wrong in going to all these places. It's fine. Bible says in Isaiah, whichsoever soul that sinneth, it shall surely die, says the Lord. Whatever soul that sins, it shall surely die. And that does not exempt us, does not exempt you. If you sin, the penalties of sin is death. You may have spent all your youth in church, but missed the point. Missed pursuing Christ. Missed living for Christ. Shall sin abound? Shall we then continue sinning that grace may abound? Because you know that God is a loving God. God is a caring God. As a matter of fact, last night I was actually thinking about the attributes of God. And I saw that one side, God, he is so loving. He is so caring. He is so protective. And actually this morning in the worship, something came to my mind. And I was saying, you know, this is a perfect place. When the worship was going on, it's a perfect place to for a blessing, for you to receive your blessing. Whether you're a Christian or not, this is the perfect place to receive your blessing because the presence of God is here. It is, if you grew up in the countryside like I did, one thing I learned from my father is that when he sees that there's going to be a good season, that it's, the grounds are going to be wet for a longer time, he planted more seeds because he knew this is the season. He planted more seeds. But when he saw the season, it's a dry one, we can't plant the whole year, you know, the whole land. We probably need to just plant this so we don't lose so much. Similarly, the same with us in the house of God. When it is that moment of worship and you feel the presence of God is there, it is time. That is the right time to give more. That is because, you know, it's a good land. It is the right season. But when the worship is kind of dry and, you know, things are not working, you know, it's okay to withdraw a little bit, you know, give what is there. But when you're giving more over and beyond, it is because you have seen this is a good land and it is time. The season is right. Praise the Lord. And so when you realize, when you look at your life, the kind of life that you have lived, and you ask yourself, you come to that point of reconciling yourself to God, and you ask yourself, where do I go when I die? Where will I go when I die? And there is that point in life. We all reach that point in our lives. Unfortunately, sometimes you may never know, because some people get sick, they're not able to communicate with those that are living. Are you going to wait for such a time that you mess your life inside out until that time and you left the living guessing, oh, he was okay, he gave his life to the Lord? We've got to make a choice. Hell is real. I don't want to go there. If God did not spare his angels when they sinned, is he going to spare you? Is he going to spare me? Children of God, is this the right time to rededicate our lives back to God? Is this the right time to give your life to the Lord, children of God? Is this the right time to reconsider your destination? Where are you headed with your life? Where are you going with your life? You're the captain of your ship. Where are you taking your life? In all this, I'll tell you something. In as much as hell is real, and that it wasn't made for you, we can get our ticket to hell if we live in sin, regardless of who you are. God is no respecter of persons. There's that joke that you always give about this bishop who died and a member of the church and a pastor, and they met in the same place. And when the member of the church reached that place, the first person he saw was his pastor. And in shock and bewilderment, he asked, "Pastor, you are also here?" Pastor said, "Don't scream, don't shout. The bishop is also over there." Could we be living in an environment where we don't honor and reverence God? Could we be living in an environment or in a place where we have taken the things of God so lightly that we never grow as Christians? Have we considered ourselves, have we brought ourselves to that level of piety, that level that is so low that Christ is not evident in our lives anymore? Where are you taking your life, children of God? Where are you taking your life? You are the captain. You are the captain of your ship. And nobody can direct that ship for you. They can give you the direction. They can give you the maps. But at the end of the day, you decide, not your husband, not your wife, not your children, not your pastor, nobody, but you yourself, you decide where you're going to take your sheep. If you decide the kind of lifestyle you're going to live, you are determining your destiny. If you decide the things that you're going to do, you're deciding your destiny. Children of God, is this that time to reconsider your life? One songwriter decided, and he sang and said, I have decided, I am going to live like a believer. When you see me, see a believer. When you hear me, hear a believer. The things that I used to do, I don't want to do them anymore. It's a complete turnaround. I've completely been changed. And my life is not for you. I'm not on stage show. I'm not living here that people might start saying, oh, I want to live like Julius. It is for me. It's my destiny. What about your destiny? It is not too late. It is not too late. And Pastor, with all due respect, I have been a Christian long enough to know this, that there are times that as Christians, because we don't have anybody to tell us, anybody to stop us at that point of our mistake, that point of our level of doing wrong, we don't have people who are bold enough and tell us, if you sin, you'll die, you'll go to hell. We've all become so sensitive because we want the church to grow a little faster. And Pastor, we want the money. But what is the purpose of the church if the church does not want people about hell being real? That people who are in church are dying and going to hell because they were never told that their lifestyle guarantees them a club seat in heaven, in hell. But I want to assure you of one thing, beloved. Mercy is available. Mercy is available. All the songwriter sings and says that mercy came running. Like a prisoner set free, mercy was running so fast towards me, past all my failures to the point of my need. When the sin I had carried for so long, the things, the wrongs that I had done for so long, feeling so guilty, feeling so wounded, feeling so helpless, feeling so lost, mercy came running towards me. When the sin I'd carried was all I could see, and when I couldn't reach mercy, when mercy was too far for me, hallelujah, mercy came running towards me. Praise the Lord. There are those times in our lives we feel, I am too sinful. Mercy is too far. I can't reach that mercy. Oh, somebody help me. I'm telling you somewhere, God has released mercy upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. And mercy is running towards you. The sin that you have committed, the things you may have done, the past that you're remembering today, mercy is running towards you that you may not go to hell. God would not have wasted his time creating you to waste your life in hell other than your choice. Only you can make that choice. But God will do everything possible to reach out to you. Beloved, hell is real. But mercy is saying, no, I'm not going to let you go to hell. Mercy, God's mercy is saying, no, I am not going to let you go to hell. But it's your choice. Mercy is running towards you. Are you going to embrace that mercy? Are you going to determine yourself? Are you going to be determined in yourself and say, I am not a hell material. I have not lived this life for hell. I did not become born again to go to hell. I am not a pretender. I am not a hypocrite. When I said I was born again, I meant it. My destiny is heaven. Mercy is saying, no, you cannot go to hell. But the choice is yours. Let's rise up, shall we? I know this is a little bit different of what you've had me talk or how you've had me preach. But just receive it the way it was. May it have urged you and triggered your spirit towards living a life that is right. Yes. Not for the pastor. It doesn't mean anything to the pastor. He's human like you. But for God. It is your ticket to heaven. Where is your ticket? Which ticket do you hold today? Is it a guarantee to heaven? Or is it a ticket to that those reserved seats, the club seats as I call them, to hell? Where are you directing your life today? I don't want to go to hell. Because hell is hot. Because hell is a place of ongoing torment. Because hell is a place that was not for me. It was reserved for the devil and his angels, and I'm none of those. Mercy is running towards you, beloved. Regardless of what you have done, it does not matter. It doesn't matter. Mercy is running towards you. And mercy runs to you saying, no, I won't let this one go. I will not let this one go. I want to give you a moment to just react to that message in your own way. Maybe it is just to pause. Maybe it is to cry out to God. Whatever it is that you want to respond to this message, I want to give you a moment as you do that.